ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
I'm a son of a gun, black master of any trade under the sun. Talk sharp like a razor blade under the tongue. Clear my path and come get your captain hung. Trying to breathe like black, a collapse your lung. Young chunk, you could choke off the web I spun. I done cleared them out from the threat I brung. You done heard about what set I'm from. My nigga, word of mouth, little rule of thumb. Y'all better bow down when a ruler come. I'm a real hood nigga, not a hoodlum. The way Thor put it down, be confusing some of y'all. Cats can't walk while chewing your gumming on. What a keyboard gotta do with a drumming on. School them on stage like I'm doing a seminar. Professional type, I'm adjusting my mic. Go to war, kid, I give you any weapon you like. Give you something to run from, bust off your dumb. Stop, kid, that hot shit, you know where it come from. It's Philly worldwide phenomenon. And reinforcing that shit is my 9 to 5. And when I finish making you recognize, I'm getting at a couple civilized women that's trying to ride. You been waiting on the border, come off the all. You wanna get the bitches up off the wall, just to see you smile and enjoy yourself. To keep you in health, this for all of y'all. I'm quick on the draw like Black McGraw. And I can't tell what y'all cats rap before. My name BG's and I'm back for more. See me get more chips than a corner store. With a portrait of Malcolm X on the door. While I'm eating MCs like a carnivore. Matter of fact, ease back for you get harmed. Ring a warning horn when I'm gonna perform. The first nigga that move or disturb the groove. I'ma have y'all flicks on the evening news. Play y'all part, get on y'all P's and Q's. And when y'all think thought, be prepared to lose. Bring money to spend and somebody to lend. And some worthwhile money, not 20s and 10s. Get took for your tuck right in front of your hens. Who could've helped you, nigga? Not none of your friends. Because I put a black fist under your chin, how your physical remains found under the pen. If I'm coming up in the place, I'm coming to win. Running in it for a minute, now I'm dumbing again. Read G's, I y'all can chat with y'all, please receive what I'm gonna get back to y'all, please. Cause you don't really wanna get clapped with all these, my man. You can take y'all strap when y'all leave. You see the squad coming to place, they all freeze. Ice cold with his mellow cool breeze. MCs never show loyalty yet. Cool hurt, ain't never get a royalty check. I do work, no question, and bomb your set. I'm calm, collect, sharp like my name Gillette. R.I.P. my main Gillette, until I touch the mic. Y'all people ain't seen danger yet. I'm a decorated vet, I regulate and wreck. Never hesitated yet, I'm getting heavyweighted checks. If you would dare ask if I'm dedicated, yes. I spit live rounds that'll penetrate a vest. Nigga, take your seats, I'ma demonstrate a test. How to freak the beast, so gangsta fresh in a thump. From the east coast to Bangladesh. Big bank, really gang smoke is dang to death. But hold tight, cause it's not over yet. I don't even feel like I'm not sober yet. And it ring like shots in the projects. New Year's Eve and it ain't even October yet. I'm a big bounty hunter like Boba Fett. Y'all more shell shocked than a soldier yet. If the prize in my sights, then I'm going for this. Woo woo, VG's be the ultimate. I'm the culprit, give me the bulk of this. Reset it on a magnetic ultra tip. Get down how you supposed to get. I got nothing to lose, I'm a killer with no regrets. I'm like Young LL, cause I'm hard as hell. Make a nigga screw face like Gargamel. Now I'm all out on my own like Patti LaBelle. Put the pimp game down on your mademoiselle.
All right, what's happening, family? What's going on? This is take two. This is take two of episode 179 of the Span Report podcast. I am your host, Mr. Span, man. And yeah, we ran into some issues, man. Yeah, the whole shit just shut down on your boy. Like, the whole damn thing went to, like, I looked at the screen and my screen had me like this. And that was it. Like, I was just stuck, like, right there. And then I touched the screen and nothing happened. And then I hit Control Alt Delete on my keyboard and nothing happened. And I'm like, oh shit. I ain't got nothing popping. Like, nothing's happening right now. I didn't even know, like, for the longest time. I even had to put my phone out to see if I was even still recording. And my phone was like, yo, yeah, you recorded like 4 minutes and 34 seconds of the show. So we doing this again, man. This is take two of episode 179 of the Span Report podcast, man. Real talk. And before I get into everything, Well, first, I got to shout out the Roots for that song, man. That's Web off of the Tipping Point album from the Roots joint. Yeah, man, that shit goes hard. There was no way in hell I was going to stop Black Thought from that flow, man. Like, I was like that whole shit is flames throughout. So I had to let that whole shit ride, man, real talk. But before we get into the show, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with your boy here at the Spin Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead, hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll play those messages here on the show and respond to you here live on the show as well. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. And of course, those emails will get read here live on the show, and I'll respond to you live here on the show as well. And you can also call into the show as we're doing it, man. So go ahead and hit that hotline up as we're doing the show if you got anything to say about what we're talking about here tonight live on the air, man. Also, man, hit me up on the iTunes and or Stitcher radio, like, ratings and stuff. Like, leave your boy a 5-star review, man. Real talk, man. It helps the show grow, man. Let people know that you rocking with us over here at the Spin Report. I know a lot of my family, man, a lot of my friends, y'all hit me up on the Facebook, y'all hit me up on like the Twitters, y'all hit me up everywhere. I want y'all to go ahead and do me that solid of going over to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio and leaving that 5-star review. Let everybody else know that you rocking with us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast and you like what you're hearing here, and it helps the show grow, man. It spreads the word. So I appreciate everybody who goes on ahead and does that. Also, man, you can also go to thespanreport.com. Thespanreport.com is pretty much your one-stop shop for everything. You can like the show on there. Like, you can like watch the replays of the live shows that we do here on Crowdcast. You can watch those live on thespanreport.com. You can vote in the polls over at thespanreport.com. You can donate to the show over at thespanreport.com. You can buy t-shirts and or hoodies over at thespanreport.com. Thespanreport.com is your one-stop shop for everything Spin Report related, man. So for those of you who rock with us over there, man, go to thespanreport.com for your one-stop shop. Everything Spin Report related, man. Real talk. And yeah, man, I gotta get into it. So one of the things that I really wanted to start off the show, man, like, I'm tired of like having to apologize to you guys for not having a show out of this, like, you know, for any length of time. Like, I tried to do this thing, right? So I wanted to do two shows a week, and I wanted to cover a lot of things, man. And what I'm finding out is, because of like the way that I work, and because the way that my life, my home life is situated, man, like, sometimes it's not always feasible for me to actually do two shows a week. So what I will promise you from here on out is that we will do these shows as often as we can. Right? I'm gonna take the Bomani Jones approach. I want to give you guys two shows a week. I swear to God, I want to give you guys two shows a week. But sometimes the way I work and the way home life sets up, it's not always feasible for me to do it. And I don't want to, like, set you guys up to where, like, okay, I know I'm going to get a show Tuesday. And I know I'm going to get a show Saturday. And then you don't get a show Saturday. I hate that. I really fucking do. I really hate that. So we're going to do these shows as often as we possibly can. That's just how we're going to roll from here on out, man. As often as we can with the Spin Report, man. I don't want you guys to, like, be disappointed when you don't have a show on your feed. When you're supposed to have a show on your feed. We're going to do these as often as we can, right? But other than that, man, like, it's been a lot of shit. It's been a lot of shit going on in the world, in the news. And we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff going on as we do the show tonight, man. Real talk. You know, like, I had a couple random thoughts. You know, like, you know, it's always something, man. Like, I always just, like, it's not, like, some major shit. But I always have, like, you know, a little something in my head that kind of like, eh, I wonder if I'm the only one that's thinking this, right? So one of the first random thoughts that I had, man, was, you know, I'm really big into, like, fitted caps, right? Like, I wear baseball caps a lot. Like, I prefer a fitted cap. I'm not really big into the snapback. If you listen to the show, you know this. I prefer the fitted kind, right? And I was sitting up and I was watching the commercial. I think it might have been a Papa John's commercial or something that Peyton Manning came on. And I'm wondering, man, if, like, they do, like, a big and tall for, like, fitted caps. And I'm wondering about the fitted caps and the big and talls, man, because, you know, like, sometimes, like, you know, like, sometimes, man, like the fellas, like you got some tall dudes, you got some big dudes, man. They can't necessarily like shop at the regular stores because it's, you know, they don't outfit them in the way that they should, man, for the big and tall guys, right? And I was talking about this. I'm like, I wonder what the biggest hat size is, right? Because I didn't really know. I was like, yo, man, like I wear a size 7 cap, right? And I didn't necessarily know what the I didn't necessarily know like how they size them, right? Because I wear a size 7, but I also noticed like over the years my head has gotten a little big, right? And that sounds really fucked up. And like, no, really, like my head has grown. So like I went from wearing like a 6 7/8 to now wear like a 7. And sometimes even the 7 starting to feel like it might be a little snug on your boy. But I was wondering, like, I was watching Peyton Manning on this commercial, and I was wondering if they have, like, the big and tall section for, like, dudes that have really large heads. You know what I'm saying? Like, do they do that? Like, is this like, a section of hat that you go to where, like, you know, you don't necessarily wear the regular size hat that everybody else wears. You got a big and tall hat, man, because, you know, like, you a larger human being. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I was wondering about, like, what the size of, you know, for the big and talls. And, like, what I didn't know was it's only really, like, they go to, like, a size 8 and, like, 7/8 or something like that. Like, it's only, like, it's not that much. Like, I would have thought the like, number was, like, 13 or some shit. Like, you know, like, with shoe sizes. You know, where, like, people get, like, you know, I wear, like, a 13 or I wear, like, a 22 and shit. Like, Shaq wears, like, a 22 shoe and shit. Something ridiculous like that. I was thinking that, like, you know, hat sizes was something similar to, like, foot sizes and shit. But obviously not. Like, they gotten it to a point where, like, yeah, like, the biggest size hat is like a size 8 plus or something. And I think that like your the head circumference is like 30 inches. That's a big ass head if you got like a 30 inch head though. Like that's a big ass head. Like it's a lot of people. Like I remember I used to wear like a 30 in the waist. So like if you wear a 30 in a hat, dog, like Jesus Christ. That's a big ass head. Right? So that was one of the things, man. I was thinking about that, man. Like big and tall, man. They should probably look into that, man, for like the, you know, for the human being with a larger size head, right? Another thing I was kind of thinking about, man, because it's actually something that like kind of happened to me over the course of the last few weeks, right? So like have you ever I come home from work, man, and every now and again I'll get this like this notice in the mail, and it'll be like this pink like piece of paper from the postal service, and it'll say, well, we're sorry we missed you, and we had this thing for you, and you can either come to the post office and pick this up, or you can like we'll try to redeliver this, right? And it says certified mail. And the thing about it is, I'm not expecting no packages, right? I'm not expecting anything from anybody that's really important to where they need to send me anything certified mail. And I was wondering, man, like, has anybody ever received anything certified mail and it was anything good, right? Like you weren't expecting it. You weren't looking for anything coming through certified mail. Like has that ever happened to anybody? As a matter of fact, I want you guys to write me into the spam report. Let me know. Like, am I tripping? Because, you know, like, here's the thing. I don't know who's trying to send me this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, like, hey, could it be the government? Could it be, like, somebody who think I owe them money? Because I think I done pretty much, like, kind of squared a lot of debts over the course of the last few years, man. So, I'm like, man, what is this shit? Like, I'm not, like, and they saying they gonna try to resend it. I'm not about to, like, go break my neck to go get some shit that I don't even know what the fuck it is. And I wasn't expecting it coming. Like, yeah, y'all could keep that shit. Y'all can keep it. It could have been a bomb. Could have been anything. I'm not trying to go fuck with that. Like, let me know, man. Let me know if have any of you guys ever received anything certified mail that you weren't expecting and it turned out to be some good shit. Let me know, man. That was one of those, like, kind of random things that I was thinking about over the course of the last couple weeks, man. Real talk, man. Now, another thing that kind of happened, man, and this is something that I think we should all be cognizant of. As a matter of fact, we here at the Spirit Report Podcast, man, we support the institution of marriage, man. We hope and pray that most folks who are in a married position, who are in a married relationship, like that y'all keep y'all shit together, man, because it's hard out here by yourself, man. Like a lot of people out here, man, like, you know, they're dealing with some marital issues or whatever, but you kind of hope through and through that people work through their shit, man. Real talk. Like, everybody that I know that has been married over the course of, like, say, for instance, the last 20 years, most of them broke up. And I hate to see that. I hate to see people who I love, like, split up and shit. And then, like, I'm friends with both of them. So now I'm, like, I'm feeling like my loyalties are, like, being torn. Like, man, like, I like your wife. I grew up with your wife just as much as I grew up with you. Like, I don't feel like I should really have to pick sides. You know, that kind of shit. Or, like, somebody you looked up to growing up and shit. You know, I'm like, man, I thought they had the best motherfucking relationship, man. Like, you see them on Facebook, they going on trips and shit, and the kids look all healthy and happy and stuff like that. And then you find out, like, yo, this nigga got, like, a family on the other side of town and shit, and she and that goddamn, you know, Beard Lives Matter group and shit, and she acting like she's single and whatnot, and you just like, god damn, like, I really had hope for them, you know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, man, like, when it comes to marriage, you really hope that most people in their marriages work it out, right? Yeah. Unfortunately.
You're tied up, you better stay tied up, because it's cheaper to keep her.
So,
this is from T, it says, it's cheaper to keep her.
We are talking about right now, Jesse Williams.
It's cheaper to keep her.
So Jesse Williams, as you guys know, is like the heartthrob dude from like Grey's Anatomy and whatnot. And, you know, he got up on the BET Awards and received his humanitarian award. And he talked about how, you know, we have to be better men for our women and all this other stuff. And you find out later on, man, that his home life wasn't exactly as tight as that speech was, right? And so Jesse Williams is divorcing his wife. I think her name is Erin Drake Lee. And they just settled their divorce settlement, right? So from TMZ, where we're reading this story, man, it says Jesse Williams is opening up his wallet wide for his estranged wife to the tune of $160,000. Jesse's estranged wife, Erin Drake Lee, just filed legal docs which disclose a temporary settlement in which Jesse agrees to give her $100,000 for spousal and child support and $60,000 to cover her lawyer fees and other costs. He has to pay her in 3 installments from his first 3 Grey's Anatomy paychecks. And that doesn't mean that things are copacetic with their divorce, which has been super nasty, but is the one battleground that they have stopped fighting. Now, again, we support the Institute of Marriage here at the Spanish Report Podcast, man. And Jesse Williams, had he been, like, true to his wife and not cheating on her, and had he, like, upheld everything that he said during that speech, he probably would still have that $160,000 that he would be able to spend with his wife as opposed to just giving her this money and everything else. And it's not even so much about him giving her the money, right? You know, like, understand, like, your wife is used to a certain standard of living. Your children are used to a certain standard of living. Like, this is the cost of playing ball, man. This is the cost of playing ball. And my granddaddy tried to tell y'all years ago, man, the sheep are the keeper. And a lot of y'all ain't taking heed. You know what I'm saying? Like, even my granddaddy at one point didn't take heed to it either, man. So I guess it's like one of those things, man. Like I pray for everybody, man. Like, I wish that people would take their marriages a whole lot more seriously than they do. And not be so cavalier about their relationships outside of these marriages. But hey, man, Jesse Williams is learning this lesson. That the sheep are the keeper, man. Cheaper to keep it. So, yeah, that was something that that's been going on in the news as of late. Okay, granddaddy, chill out. But yeah, that's been going on, man. Real talk. Let's see. We got some other shit. Matter of fact, it's I got so much shit to cover, man. Because, you know, the last time I was on the mic, man, like episode 178, I talked a lot about, like, shit, I didn't figure out what the hell I was talking about on that show. I didn't even listen to that episode again. But I talked, it was something I was really fucking passionate about. And I talked a lot about, and there was a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about on that show that I didn't get to. So some of the stuff you guys are getting tonight. And so what that brings us to is our Blue Blazers segment. Where is my Blue Blazers music? And I should have had this queued up and I don't. What the fuck is wrong with me? Where is it? There we go.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
All right. So, yeah, man, we got some craziness going on in the world, man. We really do. And one of the things that I thought about when I thought about Blue Blazers, man, religion. Religion finds itself in some strange positions, right? So, I don't know how many of you guys are like really big fans of gospel music, man. And Mary Mary used to be like really, really big, man. I remember when I first saw Mary Mary, the first thing that came to my mind, like, damn, they fine. Like, right? Like, that was the first thing I thought about with Mary Mary. I might have been like 19 at the time, I think, right? But the first thing I thought, like, damn, they fine as hell. And like, then they came out with like their reality show and stuff, and then you start finding out some of the intricacies of their relationships and like, you know, some of the interpersonal workings of that group. And that, you know, even though that their sisters, like, yo, man, even the sisters are clash on how they want to go about doing things, right? So recently one of the members of Mary Mary, Tina Campbell, decided that she was going to speak on the reason why, as a Christian, she backed Donald Trump for president of the United States. All right. So, you know, one of the things about, here's the thing about religion, man. I know when this whole thing came up, there was a lot of Christians that just kind of wished that Tina Campbell would have shut the fuck up on this, right? Like, this is like, yo, man, like, real talk, like, you didn't have to say nothing. You didn't have to say a motherfucking thing. You could have let this shit ride. Like, you could have been like, yo, I made a mistake. I fucked up. My bad. But no, Tina Campbell decided that she was going to attribute her support of Donald Trump to none other than the man upstairs, God himself. Right? So we're going to read this story. This here comes out of Vibe.com. And Tina Campbell, we're just going to read it from the article. It says, there have been many people who were canceled by Black Twitter for their allegiance to Donald Trump. Chrisette Michele was the first. Jim Brown, Ray Lewis, and Steve Harvey merited an impending cancellation notice for meeting with the president at Trump Towers, and the list goes on. Tina Campbell, however, is earning a new type of cancellation after she admitted to voting for Trump because he's a Christian. Now, the thing is, Donald Trump hasn't necessarily really shown himself to really be a Christian. He may have said a few things. He may have met with a few people. But Donald Trump's actions might not necessarily align itself with those of the church, right? Like, it just doesn't fit, right? So she says she voted for him because he's a Christian. It said during an interview with The Root, the one half of the gossip group, Mary Mary, said that she wasn't thrilled with either candidate, but found commonality with Trump because of his beliefs. I was faced with two presidential candidates that I really did not approve of, and so I had to find something, a commonality with one of them, that would make me feel like if I have to vote, I should utilize my right to vote, the 43-year-old singer said. Since I don't prefer either of them, what can I find that would make me vote? And some of Donald Trump's views on Christianity honestly is what caused me to vote for him. Now, she said this. She said his views on Christianity is what caused her to vote for Donald Trump. And I'm wondering, like, okay, what part of the Bible did grab them by the pussy? What part of the Bible was that from? Like, where did she, how does that, like, line up with what's in the scriptures? You know, talking about, like, Mexicans bringing their worst. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're rapists and they're murderers. What part of, you know, what scripture was she reading when she read that? The fact that, you know, Donald Trump went on national television and said that, you know, he wanted to judge Curiel off of his case because Judge Curiel was a Mexican, and by therefore him being a Mexican, then he couldn't possibly be impartial and adjudicate his case. And I'm trying to figure out at what point that was, where she got that in the scriptures. Like, yeah. So yeah, she said that, right? She said Campbell also admits that she doesn't agree with Trump on a lot of decisions, similar to how she didn't agree with a lot of Obama's, but she says it's not her job to judge, but to pray for the commander in chief. Many of the decisions that he has made afterwards, I have not been in agreement with at all, which I wasn't in agreement with. I wasn't in agreement with my last president that I voted for, she added. But however, as a Christian, my perspective is to pray for the president, to not only use my social platforms or other platforms to destroy this man, but at the end of the day, he still represents the country that I live in. Now, you know, interestingly enough, man, like I say this as someone who, like, I look at like the landscape of what we've seen since this dude has been occupying the White House and the reaction that he gives people of color when it comes to issues that affect us greatly. When it came to police brutality, Donald Trump has shown you that he doesn't give a fuck about what police do to who they deem who the police, like, he doesn't give a fuck about how the police treat the citizenry. When he goes to a police academy and he talks about, well, you guys don't have to be so gentle with them, you know, you can rough them up a little bit. When he talks to Puerto Ricans and tell them that, like, yo, you guys are like kind of fucking with our budget right now with this whole hurricane thing, and you guys are like not being as grateful as you should be for the help that we're giving you, and you guys are not necessarily you know, like, just kind of being flippant. Like, this dude was earlier today, like, flipping paper towels at a crowd of people who really just need the supplies. Like, he's shooting paper towels at folks like it's basketball. Like, this dude gives no fucks whatsoever. And so for this lady to come out and say that, like, yo, it was because he was a Christian I decided I was gonna vote for Donald Trump. Like, really? Really, sis? Like, that was your rationale? And I know a lot of Christians, man, they're like, yo, man, like, She could have just shut the fuck up. Like, she ain't had to say nothing. Like, you know what, man? You know, I fucked up. Like, I made a mistake. Like, but no, it becomes one of those things where, like, I think a lot of people get tired of, like, listening to Christians when it comes to the whole thing of, like, well, it's God's will. Like, nah, man, like, we kind of got something a little bit to do with this, right? Like, faith without works is dead, right? Like, yeah, you could have put in a little bit of work and we could have got a little bit of somebody better in the White House. Just saying, like, you ain't gonna put all of this on God. You ain't about to, like, alleviate your feelings and alleviate your soul by saying, yeah, it was God that made that happen. Nah, y'all, your ass had a little bit to do with that one, right? So yeah, man, that that's going on, right? Another thing that's been going on, man, like, yo, man, Christians out here taking L's, man, and I hate this, man, real talk. Christians out here taking L's, but another thing that happened is Marvin Sapp is teaming up with R. Kelly for a song on his upcoming album, man. Like, really, really, like, out of everybody, like, in the R&B space, like, this was the dude that you felt like you had to work with, man, R. Kelly, like, the pisser in, like, the pot pisser in R&B, man, like, the dude who is, as recently as 3 months ago, was in the news for having a sex harem. Like, he got a bunch of young women living in his house and he uses them for sex and whatnot. Like, their parents are like, yo, like, our daughter is being held there against her will and all this sort of shit. Like, this was the guy that you decided that you wanted to have an art, like, you gonna make a gospel song with? Like, eh. So we're going to read this story. This also comes from TheRoot.com, man. And Marvin Sapp of the gospel classic Never Would Have Made It has teamed up with serial predator R. Kelly for his upcoming album Close, to be released on September 29th. So the album's pretty much out there. According to KRNB.com, the song Listen was written and produced by the embattled R&B singer, who appears on the song with his signature vocals dispersed throughout. The message in the song is supposed to be about God trying to tell you something and you need to listen. What is God trying to tell R. Kelly? Here's a prophecy. This ain't going to go well for Sapp. Right? So yeah, man, like, what is Sapp thinking about this, man? Like, how do you come to the point where, like, of all the R&B singers out there, like, you, man, you got Kelly Price out here, man. You got fucking, you got Joe out here. You got Tank out here. You got Ginuwine out here. You got shit. You got let's see. I said Kelly Price. You got Faith Evans out here, man. You got shit. Jennifer Hudson out here that can blow. You got it's a lot of fucking R&B singers who can bring something to the table, but to go to this guy who is unrepentant in what he's doing out here, man. Like, come on, bruh. Come on, man. You got the Christians out here looking bad, man. Come on, Marvin. Marvin, like, you probably don't even listen to the Spirit Report, but Marvin, come on, man. Don't do this. Don't do this, man. So, yeah, that's going on, man. R. Kelly out here getting with the gospel, folks, man. Craziness, right? Another thing going on in Blue Blazes, man. So, check this out, man. There's this story that's coming out, and I think this was, oh, shit. I hope I didn't, oh, damn, hit the wrong button. Come on back. Yeah, I want to turn. Whew. Thought I lost y'all, man. Whew. We already had that happen once tonight. Hit the wrong button, man. My bad, y'all. But one of the things that also happened in Blue Blazers, man, is, Taco Bell, man. Taco Bell is about to bring the alcohol to the Detroit area, bro. So, apparently, Taco Bell is introducing this thing, like, their cantina stores, right? So, it says, soon you'll be able to get a taco and a beer at your local Taco Bell. This is in the Detroit area. I'm not sure how prevalent this is outside of the Detroit area, but they're bringing this here, right? So, if you got it in Florida, like, yo, tell me how this shit going. If you got it in Texas, tell me how this shit going. Let me know what's going on with this. But it says, Eater reports that Taco Bell, who started rolling out their standalone cantina-style stores in 2015, will expand into more areas, including Detroit, with between 300 and 350 new locations in urban areas by 2022. It says, rather than freestanding stores with all-important drive-through windows, these forthcoming stores will be what the company refers to as the urban inline locations. Constructed inside or taking over an existing building on a row, they have a significantly smaller footprint and focus on bringing foot traffic to the store with localized design and artwork, open kitchens, and digital menu boards. While the chain is currently targeting New York City, intending to open 50 stores in Manhattan and the outer boroughs over the next 5 years, and in Chicago, where it debuted the first Taco Bell cantina location back in 2015, the urban expansion plans to include Detroit, Pittsburgh, Nashville, and multiple cities on the West Coast. These locations will serve alcohol, including beer, wine, sangria, and cocktails. It's unclear where exactly these locations will be in the Metro Detroit area at this time. The Eater Detroit reported a couple weeks ago that the first location will be in Royal Oak, which ain't in fucking Detroit. But, yeah, man, Taco Bell. I gotta give it to Taco Bell, man, real talk. Like, Taco Bell... Yeah, it is. It's not on our side tonight, Carlotta. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Let me see if I can refresh this here. Let me reload this this page. Let's see what we got popping. Let me go ahead and reload. Hey, you guys in the chat, man, let me know if they're like, if you guys are having any issues. Hit me up in the chat. Let me know what's going on. Right. So let's see. Are we back? I think we might be back. All right. So yeah, man, like Taco Bell. The thing with Taco Bell, man, like Taco Bell is like, I got to give it to them. They're giving us shit that we didn't even know we wanted, man. Like, have you guys noticed, like Taco Bell has like, they've dived into the whole breakfast thing, right? And they got this thing coming out. They call it the fried egg taco, like breakfast shit. I didn't even know I wanted a fried egg taco. Taco Bell is making sure I get a fried egg taco. Like, have any of you guys ever tried the fried egg taco shell? Like, what's it like? What's the texture like? Because, you know, like, I got this thing with, like, egg whites, right? Like, egg whites aren't necessarily my favorite thing in the world, right? I'm a yolk kind of brother, right? I like the flavor of the yolk. You know, I can tolerate the egg white, but I got to have a lot of salt. I got to have the salt. Got to have the pepper. But that flavor, my nigga, is in that young egg yolk, right? So, let me know, man. Like, if you guys have tried the Taco Bell, like, fried taco shell breakfast taco, like, let me know what's going on with that. And see, like, now I'm interested. I'm like, I'm curious, man, because now I'm trying to figure out, like, yo, if you can get the breakfast with the liquor, you know what I'm saying? Like, can I get the sangria with the, like, the crunch wrap with the hash browns, the eggs, and the sausage? Like, is that a thing? Like, can I get that? Like, cause if they got that popping, then we might be on to something, man. Like, I can start the day on a Saturday with an early morning sangria. You know what I'm saying? I don't need the beer. Like, give me the sangria and the fried egg taco, man. Or you can give me that young crunch wrap, man, with the hash browns, man, and the eggs and the sausage, man, with a little salsa, man. And Taco Bell out here changing the game is what I'm saying. They out here changing the game, man. Taco Bell needs to get the Nobel Prize in fast food is what I'm saying. That's what needs to happen, man. Because they out here innovating, man. Like, when was the last time Burger King or McDonald's innovated some shit? You get the same burgers all the time, man. Every now and again, they might add a little something to the burger. Oh, we going to put guacamole on your burger this time. Oh, we going to add another piece of bread on this Big Mac. And we going to call it the Bigger Mac. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the extent of the innovation that comes with, like, McDonald's and, like, Burger King and shit like that. Taco Bell out here, like, yo, man, we gonna give them some new shit. but we gonna remix it. Like, we gonna give them the same shit, we gonna remix it, right? So we gonna give them Doritos shells. You know what I'm saying? That's what we gonna do. We gonna give them mac and cheese with Cheetos. Is that mac? Was that Taco Bell or was that Burger King? I'm confused. Yeah. But yeah, man, that's what's going on, man. That's what's going on. So that has been What in Blue Blazes.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
This nigga just say Blue
Blazes. All right, man. So I'm passing this shit, and I didn't even get to this. What the fuck is wrong with me tonight? Yeah. So that's that's what's going on, man. We got another story, man. This isn't necessarily Blue Blazes, but this is actually one of the things. This is actually one of those stories where I kind of feel like we really kind of need to talk to our fellas about this, right? And where is it? I didn't even pull this up on this. Let me see if I can search for it in my pocket. Hold on a second, fellas and ladies. Let's see if we can figure this out. Where is it? Where is it? Where is my story? Because this... And it's not here. Oh, shit. It's not here. Okay, so check this out. We're going to still do this. Hold on. Let me pull up my music.
Baby, it's sexy time with Mr. Span.
It's been a while since I think we did Sexy Time, man. It's been a minute. But you know what? This story is very much worthy of a Sexy Time with Mrs. Span. It was like it could go in no other place but Sexy Time with Mrs. Span. So at right now, I'm like kind of going through my Facebook because it's not in my pocket. But I know I got this story. So where is it? As I search for this on Facebook and my computer is running way slow. Like, we getting a lot of fucking technical issues tonight. It might be time for a new computer, man. It might be time for that. Where is it? As I search and I search, am I post a lot of stuff on the book. I didn't realize that I posted. I didn't realize how much I was posting on the book until just now. Where is my story? Nope, that's not it either. Here we go. Okay, so this story is coming out of, let's see, where is this? Barcelona, right? So apparently there was a tech fair in Barcelona. And at this tech fair, there was a sex robot at the tech fair. And the men at this tech fair molested this robot so much that they left the robot broken and heavily soiled. So check this out, man. It says Samantha's developer, Sergio Santos from Barcelona, Spain, said that the people at the Arts Electronica Festival in Linz treated the doll like barbarians. The doll, which reacts intelligently to touch and talks, was left filthy and broken by never-ending male attention and has now been sent off for repair. According to the Austrian media, who tested Samantha, she reacts when someone massages her breast by moaning. Santos complained that people mounted Samantha's breast, her legs, and arms. Two fingers were broken, and she was heavily soiled. So these motherfuckers got on top of this damn robot at a tech fair and tried to titty fuck the goddamn robot, man. What is wrong with niggas, man? Like, what is wrong with, like, dudes, period, to where you can't even control yourself at a tech fair? You feel like you have to pull your dick out. Like, really, man? Like, you had to pull your dick out of that moment? You had to, like that was the thing? You soiled? The damn thing was heavily soiled. You broke the damn thing's fingers, man. Like, you really felt so, like, aggressive towards this robot. It's not a human being. It is a robot. They felt so passionate about the ability of this thing to, like, I guess, satisfy them sexually. They're like, yo, they couldn't contain themselves. Couldn't contain themselves. As a matter of fact, there is video to this. Let me see if I can share this with you guys, man. And I know we're dealing with the technical issues here on Crowdcast, but Let's see if I can, you know, like kind of share the screen and you guys can check this video out for yourselves here right along with me. So let's see if we can get this popping. Where is, there we go. Let's go ahead and play this.
Hey, I'm here. So, what's up?
Uh-oh. My audio isn't linked with my okay. So apparently this robot responds to your touch and she can, like, you know, verbalize how she's responding to the touch, and these two dudes who are like kind of touching on this robot as part of this demonstration.
Is everything okay?
And they say she sets the mood. There's one guy demonstrating the robot, and there's this other guy who's like, I guess, learning how to interact with this robot. All right. So yeah, that's the thing. But yeah, man, that's what happened, man. These dudes went to this damn tech fair and they soiled the robot. They broke the robot, man. Like it naturally, like, to a certain point, it should have gone in like What in Blue Blazes, but yeah, man, it involves sex. So of course it goes in the second time with Mrs. Spam. But yeah, man, like, yeah, y'all got to put your dicks away. Like, put your dicks away at the tech fair, man. That's not what you do. That's just not what you do. Real talk, man. So that's going on now. Yeah, like I said, it's a lot of shit going on, and we got a lot of shit to cover. So we gonna we gotta talk about some news, y'all. Right, so like the last time, as a matter of fact, now I remember what we was talking about last week. We were talking a lot about the kneeling in the NFL protests about police brutality and bringing attention to that, and white folks trying to redefine what the protest even meant. And over the course of the last, you know, week, there were NFL players who were kneeling. There were some who raised a fist, and there were whole, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers decided that they were not going to even show up for the national anthem, and they would remain in the locker room or in a tunnel while the national anthem was being performed. It was like an ode to how it used to be before 2009, when all the NFL teams stayed in the locker room while the national anthem was being performed. So like, it's one of those things where, like, you think about how, like, everybody's all about this contrived, you know, notion of patriotism when this wasn't the norm as little as 8 years ago. Like, yeah, they do it now. And even that so much is like, yo, how much is this is the Department of Defense paying for these, you know, these patriotism displays and whatnot, right? But Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, decided to, like, yo, okay, we were going to come out. We're going to try to figure out, like, how we're going to, you know, how are we going to deal with this issue? Are we going to have guys kneeling? Are we going to have guys standing? We're going to do this 100% all in lockstep. And if we can't come to a decision, we're not going to go out for the national anthem. We're going to, as a team, remove ourselves from that situation, right? But there was one player on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think his name is Alejandro Villanueva, who decided that he would stand for the national anthem. He would go outside. He would put his hand on his heart. And Alejandro is a veteran. He served three tours in Afghanistan. He's an Army Ranger. He went out there and he did his thing, man, as far as, like, paying homage to the flag, paying homage to the national anthem. The issue with him, though, is, like, the fact that, like, yo, he kind of, like, left his team in lurch, you know. And because he went out, I'm not going to even say that because he went out. Because the Steelers as a team decided that they weren't going to go out for the national anthem, there was a fire chief in Washington County, Pennsylvania, who decided that he wanted to call Mike Tomlin a nigger, right? So we're going to read the story. This here comes out of, I think this is rawstory.com. Since Washington County Fire Chief Paul Smith has resigned in the wake of his use of a racial slur to refer to Pittsburgh Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. The media dragged my fire company and township into this as well as my family, Smith told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in a statement. The Steelers coach explained to the press that he had decided to keep his team in a stadium tunnel to avoid dealing with the controversy surrounding the American national anthem. Smith then called Tomlin a no-good nigger on his Facebook page. He then added, "Yes, I said it." He also blamed the media for labeling him a racist. Now, I'm trying to figure out, man, like as a white man, like if calling a black man a nigger don't make you a racist, then what the fuck does make who's racist anymore? Right? Who's racist anymore? This dude said he has a list of no good niggas that Mike Tomlin is now being added to that list. Who are the other no good niggas on that list, right? Does it include LeBron James for calling Donald Trump a motherfucking bum, right? Does it include people like, Steph Curry, because Steph Curry said he didn't, you know what? I don't fuck with Donald Trump and I ain't going to the White House, so fuck him. No, I ain't going. Does it include people like Marshawn Lynch? Does it include Colin Kaepernick? Are these all of a sudden, are they no good niggas? Are they on that list that this dude as fire chief has compiled, right? And then you think of the fact that this dude is a fire chief. The fire chief in Washington County. How many black families are there in Washington County, and can they depend on Paul Smith and his regiment and his company to come and put out a fire reasonably, responsibly, and efficiently? Can they count on that? As black people in that county, can they count on that? Or could they count on that? Right? Amazing that these people don't think that anything makes them racist anymore. Like, you can be as a white dude, like, truth be told, like white people, y'all just don't get to say it. Like, that's just, like, these are the rules of the game. These are the rules of the game. You know the history of this word and how it's been used from white people towards black people, and you're using it in the historical sense of the word. But somehow, it is the media's fault that you're the racist. It is the media's fault that you went on Facebook and decided that you were going to say these things about Mike Tomlin. And then you doubled down on your shit and said, "Yeah, I said it." Because you meant that shit. You meant that shit. So if you meant it, then how in the fuck is it the media's fault that you are now getting the attention that you so rightfully deserve? It's the media's fault that you went out on Facebook and you said the things that you said, and people saw the things that you said. They recognized the position that you hold in the county and in a position of authority. You're law enforcement. Those fired people are also part of the law enforcement community. You're part of law enforcement. These are the things you're saying, and it's indicative of the type of attitudes that they're kneeling for in the first place. You are a shining example as to why the football players are kneeling in the first place. You are so fucking clueless as to how you're contributing to the problem that you thought it was the media's fault that you said what you said. Oh, man, that's some rich racism right there, man. Like, nobody's racist no more. Everybody's out here like, it's amazing. Like, all these people out here doing all this racist shit, nobody's racist. The worst thing you could say about a racist person now is to just call them racist. That's the thing. Like, to deny racism is a new racism. That's what they do now. Right? So, yeah, that happened last week. I didn't get a chance to speak to it, but yeah, man, that's crazy, and that's going on, man. Another story that I thought was a little bit wild, and this probably could have been one of those things in What in Blue Blazes, because this is amazingly stupid, right? So there was this woman named Kat Gallagher, right? Kat Gallagher is a model. And Kat Gallagher is a model who thought it would be a good idea to tattoo her motherfucking eye, right? Like, so yeah, so this is what happened. We're going to read this story out of USA Today. It says, Canadian model Kat Gallagher may lose her sight in one eye after tattooing procedure was botched, right? It says, Let's see. The decision to walk into a tattoo parlor and have someone needle inject ink into the whites of your eyes is a bad one. That's according to the ophthalmologist, a person who has had the procedure, and even the guy who says he invented it. Sclera tattooing, also known as tattooing the whites of the eyes, is so ill-advised that ophthalmologist Philip Rizzuto, a spokesperson for the American Academy of Ophthalmology, is disappointed he even has to talk about it. Now, let me tell you guys this, man. Let me tell you how fucking, like, you gotta be a brave motherfucker for this kind of shit. I'm somebody who has had an accident with one of my eyes, right? I've had metal shards shot into my eye. Like, there's still metal specks in my right eye right now. When I go to the ophthalmologist and they, you know, do their little thing, like, they can still see the pieces of metal that are still lodged in my eye, right? And I remember when I had the accident where it was larger shards of metal in my eye, and I had to, like, look into a light, hold my eye open while the ophthalmologist took a needle to scrape these metal shards out of my eye. They had to, like, you know, hit me with some brown shit to, like, numb my eye up or whatever. But the idea of someone coming to my eye with a fucking needle was not the most, it wasn't the most comforting thought in the world. And I'm looking dead at the shit. So the idea that somebody would actually invite someone to their eye with a needle and say, yo, put some ink in my shit, is crazy as it is crazy as fuck off the jump. But I'm going to go on and finish reading. It says, I would strongly recommend against it. He said the practice he warned can cause people to go blind and even lose their eye. The world was reminded of the practice when Canadian woman Kat Gallagher of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, recently posted the results of her sclera tattoo gone wrong. On September 5th, the 24-year-old got her right eye inked, which caused purple ink to build up in her eye. It has since blurred her vision and is a source of pain. Next week, she anticipates undergoing surgery to remove the ink before it dries. I would not recommend anyone do this, she said. I don't think it's worth the risk. You didn't weigh those options. You didn't weigh those risks before you decided to do this. She's 24. She's young. Got a lot to learn. I know, like, some of it, like, I'm 37. Like, I get it. Like, it was some shit that there was some decisions that I made when I was 24 that as 37-year-old dude, I would probably not make today. You know, if I was 24, had I known. But yo, man, like, inviting someone to your eyes with a needle to inject ink in it. Yeah, man. That's next level. That is next level. It says, like a tattoo on your arm or hand, sclera tattoos involve placing ink within the skin, said Rizzuto, a clinical professor of surgery at Brown University. He explained the ink is injected into a very thin layer of skin called the conjunctiva. Excuse me. Which covers the whites of our eyes. The result is the whites of our eyes change colors. It's as permanent as any tattoo. Rizzuto said that the danger lies in the inexperience of the hand holding the needle. Putting any kind of needle on an eye is very dangerous, he said. We do that all the time, but we're trained for 12 to 18 years how to go about treating the eye. And like I said, man, like, I've seen this literally myself. Someone taking a needle to my eye for surgical procedures. Like, nah, fuck that. You ain't doing it for no cosmetics, nigga. Not for no fucking tattoo. Not for no tattoo. So, yeah. Yeah, what's this girl's name? What's her name? let me see. Where was her name again? Kat Gallagher. I almost want to put her in the Asshat Hall of Fame for this one. Like, real talk, I kind of want to do that, but I'm not going to do that. We're not even going to do Asshat tonight. We're not doing Asshat. We're not doing Champa tonight. Tonight either. But yeah, don't do no tattoos on your eyeballs, man. That's stupid. That is amazingly stupid. And it should not even have to be, that shouldn't even have to be said, man. Real talk. Another thing, man, that's going on in the news, man. OJ Simpson done got out of jail, y'all. So yeah, man, OJ Simpson has been in jail for the last 9 years after being convicted of kidnapping and armed robbery. He's a free man, dude. Like, they let the dude out, man. He was still in his prison blues. He had on his prison jacket and his jeans. And I'm gonna need them to not, like, auto start videos and shit. I'm just saying. But OJ Simpson got out of prison, man. And One thing is, here's the thing. Like, it's going to be interesting to watch O.J. Simpson move in the social media world that we have today, man. When O.J. Simpson was locked up, Twitter wasn't as big as it is now. Facebook wasn't a thing as it is now. He's going to have the ability, like Donald Trump, to be on these social media platforms, and he can totally, you know, try to live a normal life, or he can totally make a spectacle of himself. One would hope that O.J. Simpson would, like, totally try to just live a normal, low-key-ass life, and that be what it is, man. Like, it's weird, like, kind of like, let me be honest, like, I don't fuck with O.J. Simpson. Like, I think O.J. Simpson, like, murdered Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. I think he really did do that shit, you know. And when I was 14, when this shit was happening, I didn't really know all the intricacies of the case and everything else. I just knew the shit was on TV every day. But, you know, looking back over the case and all that other stuff, and, like, the documentaries we've seen with, like, ESPN, and then you see the FX series and whatnot, man, like, O.J. did that shit. And O.J. went to jail for this simply because he got off for that last shit. But one thing about OJ that I think a lot of black folks are not afraid to acknowledge is, like, yo, the only thing we really fuck with OJ is that OJ fucks with white people. White people get really fucking upset about OJ being out and free and not being in jail for the murders of those people, for Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. Like, white people are upset about that. And every time OJ is walking around the street, they get upset about it. And for those of us who have watched the deaths of Tamir Rice, and who watched the deaths of Mike Brown and Eric Garner and Alton Sterling and Philando Castile and Freddie Gray and all these other names, man, like, for those people who would talk about, like, yo, man, well, what about the shit that's going on in black-on-black crime and all this other shit? Like, yeah, y'all, as much as y'all hate what happened to Nicole Brown Simpson and what happened to Ron Goldman, like, yeah, y'all hate that. That's pretty much how we feel about all this other shit that's going on. So y'all got this one case. Black folks got a few cases we can point to where justice was not served. So we're not really as broke up about this shit as y'all are about that shit. So, yeah, but it's going to be interesting to see how O.J. Simpson decides to navigate this world with social media and the 24-hour cable news networks now. Like, the way, like, the media is so much more hype now than it ever was when O.J. Simpson was out here doing the crazy shit that he was doing, from the reality show to being involved with some seedy motherfuckers and everything else. But yeah, man, O.J. Simpson, the juice is loose. O.J. Simpson is out of prison after serving 9 years for stealing his own shit, right? So yeah, that's going on. Now, we didn't talked about a lot of stuff tonight. And, you know, one of the things I tried to keep it light, you know, leading up into this, because this is one of those, this is one of those topics to where it's not exactly the easiest shit in the world to talk about. It's not this, you know, it's some hurtful shit. It's some tragic shit. And, it's one of those things where, like people are invested in this, you know, like, on like both sides of this issue, man. Like, people are invested in like not having this kind of shit happen again, right? And so there was a shooting in Las Vegas. You've been living under a rock, you don't know this, but there was a shooting that happened in Las Vegas, Nevada, not last night, but the night before last. And the shooter, his name was Stephen Paddock. The death toll has been 59 dead, over 500 people injured from this dude shooting from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Las Vegas on the Las Vegas Strip. And, you know, one of the things about this, like, you know, it's always interesting to see how the media, or even how, like, law enforcement rushes to define what or what this is not, right? And so here we have 59 people dead. We have over 500 injured. And this dude is not labeled a terrorist, right? And it's interesting how this works, right? When we've seen a growth in mass shootings over the course of the last 10 to 15 years. You know, you can kind of start running off the incidents, man. You think about the Pulse nightclub. You think about Fort Hood. You think about the Virginia Tech shootings. You think about Newtown. You think about what happened to Gabby Giffords. You think about San Bernardino. Like, you can start running off the names of these events more and more frequently. You think about Columbine. You know, those sorts of things. You can start naming these events off. Like, you can rattle them off almost as much as you can rattle off the police shootings that happened with unarmed black people. You can start rattling these events off. And one of the more common things in these events is, like, the gunman typically tends to be a white male, usually younger, and they are always deemed either mentally unfit or mentally they have a mental handicap, or they are a lone wolf, that they're humanized in a way. Like, you know, he's always like, he was a good guy, you know, he had shown no signs of, you know, like mental deficiencies or like any radical, you know, political views or leanings, or like, I never got this vibe from him. He was always a good guy. Like, there's always this concerted effort in media and in law enforcement to kind of like hurry up and define these dudes as just regular Joes or lone wolves. And it was interesting when this story was coming out, and I even said on social media, like, maybe I need to unplug, because it's making me so motherfucking cynical about shit like this, where, like, the first thing that I'm thinking is like, yo, man, if this was a Muslim dude, he would already be labeled a terrorist, just off the sheer fact that this guy would have been Muslim. He'd have been labeled a terrorist. And it was funny to me to watch white people complain about the fact that this dude was even identified as being a white man. Right. Like, I saw people on social media like, yo, man, here's the media trying to stir shit up again, man. Like, hey, what the hell does him being white have to do with anything? As if, and it's funny, because these are the same people. These are the same motherfuckers who go out of their way to remind black people when they talk about police shootings and police brutality. They're the same motherfuckers who talk about black on black crime. And now you're worried about the shooter being white and it being talked about that the shooter is white. We know that the vast majority of the mass shooters in this country are white males. Sometimes they're not. Right? You think about what happened to San Bernardino. That wasn't a white male. That was a male of Arab descent. You think about what happened in Dallas. You know, the Dallas shooter. That wasn't a white male. That was a black dude. Right? But the vast majority of mass shootings in America are perpetuated by white males. And most of them have right-wing political leanings. Dylann Roof, Jared Lee Loeffner, Adam Lanza. Like, these dudes all had political leanings that lean right. Right? So, you know, that was one of the things that kind of stood out to me, was like the rush to define these dudes as just regular dudes, lone wolves. They had no ties to terrorism whatsoever. Had this dude been brown, he would already be labeled a terrorist. 59 people are dead, over 500 are injured. And you make sure that we know that this dude is no tie to terrorism whatsoever. ICE has even tried to claim this motherfucker. They're like, yeah, he was one of us. And they're like, nah. You think about that. The government was like, nah, we're not even going to let you claim this white man as being part of y'all, man. Nah, fuck that. Nah, we can't let that happen. Can't let that happen. So that was one of the interesting things about what happened with that, right? Another thing that I thought was very interesting about this the Stephen Paddock guy was the fact that Stephen Paddock was he's associated with a woman of Filipino descent, and like, they put this lady's name, they put her face out there. She was a person of interest, and it gave this thing an air of, we have to connect him to her in order to kind of legitimize what we think is, if he is tied to terrorism, maybe she has something to do with that. Maybe she had something to do with that. You know, they talked to her. They said, you know, that she didn't have anything. Well, as of right now, as of this recording, as I understand it now, she has been spoken to. she was out of the country when this happened. She had nothing to do with this particular thing, and she's no longer a suspect. Now, she may, these things may have changed. By the time you listen to this, those details may have changed, right? But it was interesting how she was put out there, even her ex-husband, right? So like a lot of right-wing websites got her name because they had put her name out there, so they thought that her ex-husband was the shooter, and they started putting his name out there, and they were like, yeah, he's a fan of Rachel Maddow, and he's all these left-wing leaning political leanings, and he listens to Bill Maher and all this other stuff. And it's like, yeah, they know that the vast majority of these people hold the same views that they do, so they couldn't wait to try to discredit this dude, or to try to discredit who they thought was the shooter, and to somehow not being a part of their clique, right? Because most of the people who are doing these sorts of things are part of the people that they rock with. And it was interesting to kind of watch that play out. All these right-wing leaning websites and conspiracy websites kind of popping up. Another thing with these conspiracies, man, is like, I've seen people talk about like the Mandalay Bay, not being like where the shooting was happening. Like that's not on the 32nd floor, man. They on some bullshit. Like it had to be more than one shooter and all this other stuff. I really don't really have a lot of time to like even entertain like the conspiracy theory aspect of a lot of this shit. Another conspiracy theory kind of lends into like even with the NFL protests, right? So I'm seeing people talk about, well, maybe this is a thing where like this gives the police an opportunity to be seen as heroic, and it shines a bad light on the dudes kneeling because they're talking about police brutality. And the one thing about that is like, yo, we got a whole nation of folks who are trying their damnedest to not even acknowledge that that's the reason why these dudes are kneeling in the first place, right? They're trying not to even acknowledge that police brutality is the reason. So it's one of those things, man. I'm just like, I don't know how much you can even you can make that connection. It's a fucked up situation. You know, make no mistake about it. It's a fucked up situation. It's one of those things where like, you know, you see one of those things and you see, like, you just say, like, again, like, that shit happened again. And, you know, I have family in Las Vegas, and, you know, think, you know, good thing that Facebook kind of lets folks check in and let folks know that they're all right. My family was out there, you know, my cousin, man, one of my dudes, like my brother, he was like, yo, man, he was out there trying to donate blood. It's like a 5-hour wait to allow people to donate blood at the Red Cross and stuff like that for the victims of this shooting and what have you. And, I was just glad that they were all right. I mean, I wasn't really necessarily expecting them to be at no country Western concert in Las Vegas, but yo, at the end of the day, like, yo, I got people out there. I want to know if they okay. Same thing with 9/11. You know, I want to know if my family is all right. And so it was good to see that, you know, that my people was good out there. Another thing that kind of happens when we talk about these issues when it comes to these mass shootings. And it leads into like our discussions around like gun violence, mass shootings, and gun ownership. Right. And if you listen to the show for any length of time, you already know kind of what my views on gun ownership is, and you know, kind of where I stand on it. But as you know, I didn't say a whole lot like over the course of the last couple of days. I didn't really say a whole lot. I just kind of absorbed, man. I just kind of watched how people reacted, and I just kind of watched. I did my thing, man. I kind of people watched for a couple days when it came to this particular incident. And one of the reasons why I did that was because, you know, I'm as much as people may not necessarily believe me, right? I'm not trying to antagonize folks on this. Right, I'm not trying to antagonize people when it comes to situations like this. Like, I understand that this is a tragic event. I understand that people feel a certain way. I understand that people have to let them their feelings be known. And so I just kind of like, okay, I get it. Like, let me back up. Let me let people express themselves on this. But I'm also watching. I'm also watching because I'm a gun owner, right? And okay. And because I'm a gun owner, I find myself in the middle of advocating for like gun ownership responsibly. And because things like this happen where a lot of my friends and a lot of my family are saying that like, yo, nobody should own a gun. Right. And I understand, man, like I understand like the feeling that comes with that. I understand why people feel that way. Like, we've seen countless times, man, where like somebody has access to a gun who shouldn't have access to a gun, who has used a gun irresponsibly or recklessly or maliciously. And it brings into question everybody else who owns a gun, right? And for me, man, I just sit back and I'm just like, yo, I just kind of as I, for one, I hate that these things happen. I abhor that these kind of things happen with increasing regularity, right? Because one of the things that I think is that needs to be said, like, yo, we've had access to firearms since the inception of this country. Like the access to firearms has kind of always been there, right? And depending on, I guess you could like sort of like depend on the climate of the country politically, or like the access to the weapons, or, you know, like all these, is a lot of different things that kind of go into it. But one of the things that I think about is like, we're living in such a politically charged time that we all kind of like go into the extreme in some of our views, right? But one of the things, like, one of the things that I think really bothers me about the entire like debate on guns and gun ownership in instances when shit like this happens is that I think that the argument is sometimes unfair. And I mean that when I say, when you see people being gunned down by some stupid motherfucker, by some malicious asshole who we don't even know what his motive was, but when something like that happens and the response is, well, if you own a gun and you want to continue to own a gun, then therefore you don't care what happened to those people. That's incredibly unfair. That is incredibly, that's just, it's not fair to a lot of people, right? And it's hard for me not to, like, you know, kind of take offense to some of that, because my gun ownership and a lot of people's gun ownership has nothing to do with wanting to kill anybody, right? It's about self-preservation for a lot of us. Don't want to kill anybody. I've said this many times on this show. Many times, man. We've had so many different instances over the course of the last few years, man. Don't want to kill anybody. But I do want to defend my life and the life of others, right? And I've been on this mic and I've told you guys, like, yo, I don't think that gun ownership guarantees you anything. I don't think you, like, you owning a gun is not going to guarantee that, like, you're going to even get the drop on somebody. You owning a gun isn't going to guarantee that you leave out of a situation alive. The only thing a gun gives you is maybe a fighting chance. And for some of us, like, yo, we want the fighting chance. We want the fighting chance. And I resent the attitude by a lot of people who have opted to not exercise a right, to not do it. Like, I get it. Like, owning a gun is not for everybody. Everybody is not ready for that level of responsibility. I understand that. I get that. And if you don't exercise that, by all means, you do not have to. But to tell other people that they also shouldn't have the right to protect themselves and protect the ones they love because some crazy motherfucker decided to do some stupid shit, to do some malicious shit, to do some evil shit, somehow that means that we don't care about what happens to other people. That's bullshit, man. That's bullshit. I hate when these sorts of things happen as much as any of you do. As much as anybody else does. Gun owners hate seeing this shit. Responsible gun owners hate seeing this shit. People who got fucking sense, man. Now, I'm a person. I own guns, plural. I am also a former member of the NRA. A lot of the things that the NRA has done and advocated for. Although at one point in time, I was not necessarily aware. And I didn't have the political acumen at the time to like put it together and in the way that I do now. But, like, yo, like, I look at this shit and I'm just like, I wish we weren't so reflexive. I wish we weren't so reflexive. We live in a time where black people, and I'm just going to speak because most, like, listen, we live in a time where black people have to affirm loudly, forcefully, and in numbers that black lives matter. We live in a time where the police, and this has probably always been the case, but we live in a time where the police look at black people in a way that we are something to be protected from, not someone or something to protect. We live in a time where justice isn't always brought our way. We're fighting the system every day to get the system to act, to reflect justice for us. We're living in really volatile times. For a lot of people, we're not necessarily dependent on a police department who we have very little faith in. And because we have very little faith in that police department, we take up arms for ourselves. We take up the responsibility for our safety in our hands. And that's what it is for a lot of people. And it has absolutely nothing to do with not caring about the safety of others. And that's how I start to see, like, the argument being framed that, like, because you decide that you are going to own and operate a firearm, that you somehow don't care about these other people. And it's so far from the fucking truth, man. And it's one of those things where, like, I'm looking at, like, all of the things that are going on politically, man. Not only that, just, like, on a personal level. Just on a personal level, you guys who listen to me, I used to do this show on YouTube. I did a live show on YouTube where I was talking about some of the dumb shit that Donald Trump has involved himself in or had done or whatever. There were Trump supporters in the chat room on YouTube. Some of those Trump supporters decided that it would be a good idea to dox Mr. Spann, right? They were searching my name. They were looking me up as the show was going on, and they were putting information on me up in the chat room. The information was dated, but at one point in time, that information would have been accurate. Right? I walk around with a gun on me every fucking day because of shit like that. Not because I want to go and hurt anybody else. Not because I want to inflict pain on others. No, because I want to come home to my wife. I want my daughter to be able to come to see me. I want to live to see grandkids. I want to continue to be able to provide for my family. That's what it means for me and a lot of other people. And it's unfair to try to make this argument about whether or not you care about how other people live. This is about making sure that I get home and that even when I'm at home, that nobody violates my home either. Right? So, you know, I try to express upon people as a gun owner, man, like, yo, there are a lot of us who own guns who understand that other people may not necessarily be comfortable with it. But even when it comes to regulations, we are in favor of some of those regulations. One of the things that I think would be like longer waiting periods, right? Like, I bought an AR-15 at one point in time, man. I had to wait 3 days before I actually received my AR-15. I wasn't in dire need for the, you know, to receive it. It was because it was something that I wanted, but it was also a tool that I figured I could use for home defense. But I didn't have to have it within 3 days. I could have waited 30 days. 30 days is one of those things we can kind of implement. A 30-day waiting period on certain kinds of weapons. I have absolutely no problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with psychological evaluations for people who are trying to obtain certain kinds of weapons. Right? No problem with that whatsoever. I have no problem with them actually enforcing the laws on the books. You know, we call for so many gun laws in America, man. Like, there's a lot of gun laws in America, truth be told. So much so that I need an app on my phone so I'm aware of certain laws when I travel. And that's partly because of what happened to me in Chicago years ago. I need to be abreast of what the laws are everywhere I go. Right? There are a lot of laws already on the books that need to be enforced. Expanded background checks. Expanded background checks. Go into, you know, even misdemeanors. I remember when I first got my license to carry a concealed weapon. You know, here in Detroit, like what they did was they were, whoever had been arrested for anything, they were denying them their license to carry concealed, and you had to go before a gun board in the county in order and explain what was going on with that case and produce documentation as to what was going on with that case before the gun board, which consisted of law enforcement officials, to tell you whether or not you would get your gun license or not. And I saw a bunch of people get denied their gun licenses. I've had to go before the gun board twice, right? Once because of what happened to me in Chicago, and another time because I was arrested because of, ironically, I was looking for a job, and that was a wild and wacky thing. And we may talk about that story somewhere down the line, man, if I haven't told it already. But this whole, the gun debate, I think, has I think it's just been, like, to some people, it's just been a little bit unfair. And ultimately, you know, going back into what happened in Las Vegas, like, it's unfair that there are people who should be here that are not. It's unfair that there are people who are in the hospital and they're suffering that shouldn't be. It's unfair to them too. I'm not going to be callous. I'm not trying to be callous. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be not understanding. But like I said, man, it's just interesting how these debates kind of almost like predictably kind of happen. And I called this episode Faces of Terror, right? And the reasons are blatantly obvious if you look at the show art. We have a problem in America where white men, white young males, or white older males feel like this is an avenue of notoriety. Feel like that they are losing a country. And we have a government, we have a media that is coddling them. We won't call it terrorism. There's always a reason as to why what these dudes are doing isn't called terror. Those people who were being gunned down in Las Vegas the other night were terrorized. The people in San Bernardino who were gunned down or around were terrorized. Same thing with Pulse Nightclub. Same thing with Virginia Tech. The same thing with Newtown. The same thing with in Arizona with Gabby Giffords. The same thing with Columbine. The same thing with Aurora. These folks were terrorized. Now, whether you try to link it to some sort of religious affiliation is irrelevant. Call it what it is. Terrorism. You don't need to be Islamic for it to be terrorism. It doesn't have to be Islamic. What's the dude's name? Timothy McVeigh. They call him a terrorist. Only because was it because he used a bomb? Was it because of the amount of people who were hurt and died? If it's about the amount of people who were hurt and were killed, then damn it, why isn't this terrorism today too? Why isn't this? Call this what this is, man. There is a contingent of white America who is hell-bent on terrorizing other people. It's not always Islamic terrorism, as the right wing is so pressed on us calling it, right? Like they used to get on President Obama all the time. Why don't you call it Islamic extreme Islamic terrorism? It's the goddamn ISIS and it's the damn Taliban, and why don't you just call it what the hell it is, goddammit? And here we are with white dudes gunning down fellow Americans in mass numbers, and they're lone wolves, or there was a mental issue with them, and he was just a guy, man. They didn't have any, like, everyone's always surprised that it was them. Like, my baby wouldn't hurt nobody, right? That whole my baby wouldn't hurt nobody kind of stick. Old boy's brother's coming out talking about, saying, yo, man, I ain't had no contacts with him, man, but I'm surprised, man, that my brother was into all these guns, man. He had 18 fucking guns with him in the hotel room. More guns at his house with explosives and everything else. Nobody knew nothing. Everybody's surprised. This dude was a terrorist. And we should call him such. So. That's the show tonight, man. we gotta go. But before I go, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. I'll read those emails here live on the show, man. Also, 5-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. Leave those 5-star reviews. They're greatly appreciated. And for all you guys who do that, man, I'll read those here on the show, and I will thank you right here on the show. Also, go to thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. You can watch the show there, the replays of the podcast. You can watch those there. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. Everything's available at thespanreport.com. You can donate money at thespanreport.com. You can buy a t-shirt at thespanreport.com. Everything's available at thespanreport.com, man. So I appreciate everybody who goes ahead and does that. But yeah, it is getting late, and I got to get out of here, man. So until next time, fam. Peace.